And now our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Listen now for the word of God. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they may not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Now the parables told by Jesus were intended to give the listeners a glimpse at life in the kingdom of God. A life where all are treated equally, no violence, no guns, no hunger, no sickness, economic and social justice is done, and generous, caring, and sharing is a way of life. Some have called the parables earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. They reveal the heart of God. And when you think about it, it's so smart for Jesus to teach with stories, isn't it? Stories is what we remember. We tend to, like he could have just said, "Don't ignore the poor, you know, don't be greedy." And he did say some of that in like the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor." But when he told stories, people remembered them. And to this day, if you're not raised in a church, if you don't know the Bible, sometimes it can be confusing because a lot of these parables are talked about just in our general society, in general language. When we think about the prodigal son, for example, that's probably the most famous parable. And think about the forgiveness that was part of that story. And someone will say, "Oh, he's like a prodigal son." Well, if you don't know the parable of the prodigal son, you wouldn't know what they were talking about. And if you think about some of the stories in our culture that are not in the Bible, but have kind of biblical messages, I was thinking about how people will say, "Don't go chasing after windmills." Remember what that comes from? Don Quixote, right. And you know when that was written? I looked it up this morning. 1605. We remember the Don Quixote story and apply it to our lives today since 1605. And when you think about it, that story that Cervantes wrote actually is similar to this parable because it's all about how relationship can transform someone. Relationship is what we're supposed to be about, developing relationships with people who otherwise society would just throw out the door and see as hopeless. So I think that's also why the Don Quixote story is very meaningful to people still, because it tells a similar story to this parable. But a traditional way for a rabbi to teach in those days, too, was to tell stories and teach lessons with extremes in the story to emphasize a point. For example, the parable of the mustard seed calls the mustard seed the smallest of all the seeds that becomes the greatest of all the shrubs. But we do know that there are seeds on earth, and there were back then, that are smaller than mustard seeds. And there are shrubs larger than mustard plants. So the lesson is given really in extremes. This was just kind of a traditional rabbinical way of teaching back then to get the attention of the listener. And a parable is like a metaphor explained in story form. Jesus really wanted people to see poor Lazarus in this story as being in a terrible, starving, and suffering condition, where all he had were dogs to lick his wounds. Lazarus represented all the poor and the helpless during the time of Jesus. And the rich man was to be seen as the extreme opposite. He had fine clothing and he ate sumptuous meals every day. And he probably didn't even notice Lazarus as he traveled past him on a daily basis. Now, we do all tend to stay away from situations or people that we don't understand, especially if we don't know how to help and we're embarrassed about that. Many of us are like the rich man who avoided all contact with Lazarus. I think it made him feel guilty to see him, so he pretended he didn't see him. But I would like to think that the dogs licking his wounds were his friends. When I think about how my dog will do that with the littlest wound I might have on my hand, they were trying to heal him. So when one is not born in poverty or ever experienced what it's like to live month to month, not knowing if you can keep the lights on, it is difficult to understand what a trap poverty really is. Being below the poverty line is a huge blow to the self-esteem, and it deeply affects psychological stability day by day. It feels like a hopeless tunnel that has no light at the end. Those born into poverty will likely die in poverty unless someone reaches into their life to give them hope, to role model another way of living, and to give a hand up out of their trapped situation. Now picture it. You need to feed your family. You need to travel to and from work and get your child's school supplies. But you only have $1.90 in your pocket. It seems like an impossible scenario. But for approximately 800 million people in the world, it's their reality today. 11% of the world's population is living in extreme poverty, which is defined as surviving on only $1.90 a day. Can we do something about this? It may seem overwhelming, but we can. It helps first to understand what causes poverty. And to help people not fall into extreme poverty, we must understand the causes. So here are the 9 causes of poverty around the world. And one is linked to the other. As we read through them, you can see how they're linked to each other. The first one is inadequate access to clean water and nutritious food. That one's self-explanatory. The second one is little or no access to livelihoods or jobs. They get stuck and they can't move because of inconsistent work or low-paying jobs. Those things just alone can land a family in poverty. Land that was once farmed, though, for food can be taken away by corporations or caught up in war zones, and there their livelihood goes out the door. The third is conflict. Violence that we see in places like Syria can grind a society to a halt, destroy infrastructure, and cause people to flee, forcing families to leave behind all their assets. In Syria, around 70% of the entire population now lives below the poverty line. This was a country where extreme poverty was rare before the war. Inequality. No matter what kind of inequality, it generally means the same thing: unequal or no access to the resources needed to lift a family out of poverty. And five is poor education. UNESCO estimates that 171 million people could be lifted out of extreme poverty if they received just basic reading skills. That's it. Too many never learn to read. And with even more education, world poverty could be cut in half. Six, climate change. The World Bank estimates that climate change has the power to push more than 100 million people into poverty over the next 10 years. 100 million people. And seven, limited capacity of the government. Many people living in the United States benefit from social welfare programs that people can access if they need health care or food assistance. And this is one of the reasons to go to places like Haiti or Kenya or the Dominican Republic, because many countries like them have no ability to provide such programs. The poor are usually unable to access health care. And then number eight, lack of reserves. People living in poverty don't have the means to weather the storms of life. So when there's an illness and the breadwinner can't work, there's not enough money to keep the family out of poverty. And they do say here in the United States, people are within one paycheck often of being homeless. So many people have a hard time saving anything for a day when they're no longer working. Poor infrastructure. From roads to bridges to wells to cables for light, cell phones and internet, when the infrastructure suffers, the people suffer, and communities become isolated, water becomes contaminated, and utilities fail. Around the U.S. right now, we see infrastructures failing, such as in Detroit, and causing places of poverty to get even worse. When I worked in Prince George's County outside of Washington, D.C., in Maryland, I was amazed at how many more potholes were in the street there, driving out to the poor parts of town compared to the streets where I lived in Potomac, Maryland. The poor parts of the state are much worse out of neglect, and they pay less taxes, so they get less attention from the government for smooth roads and smooth sidewalks, clean water, and air quality. Now, David Brooks, many of you may read his column. He's a conservative columnist for the New York Times. And David Brooks just came out with a new book called Second Mountain, The Second Mountain, The Quest for a Moral Life. And it's about a spiritual awakening that he recently went through. In the book, he identified the lies that our culture tells that show that we are in a state of what he calls spiritual sickness. He described five lies in our culture that our culture tells that show how sick we are morally from living in our current society. And the fifth lie he describes is the lie that rich and successful people are worth more than poor and less successful people. Our culture tells that lie and promotes that lie. That fifth lie is about the rich being worth more than the poor, and it's a lie that's been told ever since Jesus's day. And the issue Jesus is raising in our parable for today is exactly about that lie. Our culture values the strong, the beautiful, the athlete, the talented, the rich, the famous, and devalues the disabled, the different, the less successful in business, and the poor. Look at the way our culture pays our entertainers and athletes versus the salary our police officers, nurses, and teachers get. That shows what our culture values. But Jesus valued Lazarus enough to give him a name in the parable. The name Lazarus means God is my help. And in the parable, Jesus assigned Lazarus to a place of heavenly comfort since he suffered so much in his time on earth. The rich man was literally unreachable in life and unreachable in death. He created his own chasm out of luxuries and self-centered ways that separated him from heaven. He didn't even realize Lazarus was suffering, or he just didn't care. So the rich man pleads to be given a chance to warn his family members before it's too late for them. But the answer for them is not to be given a miracle to listen to, but to listen to what God has already instructed them through the words of Moses and the prophets. So let's listen to God speaking to us through little prophets, through the voices of these children speaking God's word, who are being lifted out of poverty by child sponsorship through the organization called Compassion.
No te niegues a hacer el bien a quien es débil cuando tienes el poder de hacerlo. No le digas a tu pueblo, vete y vuelve, que mañana te daré, cuando tienes contigo que dar.
Aprender a hacer el bien, sean amables con los demás y ayuden al oprimido. Hagan valer el derecho de los huérfanos y defiendan a las viudas.
Y serás bienaventurado porque ellos no tienen para recompensarte, pero serás recompensado por la resurrección de los justos.
Abre tu boca por el mundo en el juicio de los desvalidos. Abre tu boca y juzga con justicia y defiende la causa del pobre y del menesteroso.
Porque el pobre yo para llamar más caña, me busque feta puro para el pobre se llama de yo.
Le voy a pedir por malele, se van a que fue cuando despete, me le voy a limpiar al pobre, te pide de mi cambio.
Le voy a pobre que si te, se van a que se limen que pagamento.
The generous greet and say, be blessed for the child they fool with the poor.
I love the energy of those kids and how much passion they put into what they're saying. Well, listening to God, who tells us clearly in this parable and in other many ways in the Bible that we must not turn away from those in need, or if we do, there may be great consequences for our own eternity. We must be willing to see them as friends and do what we can to advocate for them. God wants us to see, to care for, and love those in need. The misfortune of others could easily be our own. Life is short. Eternal life is eternal. And when the suffering are ignored, we all suffer. And so I know, though, how confusing it can be on how to respond to people who are homeless or people you see on the street that may need help. And so I made some copies of an organization that's through Catholic Charities. They're called the Homeless Outreach Services Team, or HOST, H-O-S-T. And what they do is they do outreach to people on the street, and they will come to them wherever they are unsheltered, homeless. And it's in collaboration with the police department's downtown enforcement team and others, such as Social Advocates for Youth, the SAY program. And so I put on here the referral number that they could call, and also there's a website. So there's a few papers out there in the narthex and some here in Campbell Court. But if you'd like to just carry one with you, when you see someone who's homeless, you could offer it to them, and that way you're showing a gesture of friendship and not just ignoring them as you pass by. Let us pray. Dear God, open our eyes to those all around us, and especially to those in need, that we may see everyone everywhere as your beloved children. Amen.